Intel Corporation, and I'm here to talk about our work with BuildBot for OpenOffice. And what motivated us to start working on BuildBot was that making cross-platform software is actually really difficult. And I can attest to this from personal experience that having used Linux forever and Unix forever, I was astounded to find out that things like getOpt and Index don't work on Windows. And I found this out, you know, of course, working on my CWS for a long time, and then when I thought that I was just about ready to go ready for QA to give it a try on the Windows box that we had cobbled together, and finding out that it didn't compile at all, and that STL and various other things were completely different, and the compiler warnings were different. And then, of course, once again later, finding out, courtesy of Stefan, that that Solaris is again different from all of those. And it's illustrative of a problem that nobody has every platform. I mean, I haven't even tried it on BSD or macOS or Spark Linux or God only knows whatever. What other flavors are out there? Even differences between JDKs and compiler versions, and it's impossible to require all developers, especially independent developers and new developers, to have a copy of every platform that they can build on and debug on. So we wanted to make something that would allow them to easily know right away that their changes were problematic. And also we wanted to enable people to be able to test developers' CWSs rather than, you know, you have to download, either making some, you know, the current situation is making some sort of impromptu arrangement, like my install sets are at, you know, such and such and such and such, and you can download them, or just check it out with CWS clone and build it, which is somewhat onerous to users who are not developers. And so we wanted to make, make something where developers could easily, or users could easily check out a developer CWS in progress and test it out and see if it worked for them, and report their feedback and sort of make that cycle closer. And also we wanted people to be able to, other developers to test each other's code much more easily than checking out and building and making an install set, and it's kind of a pain. So, and we've talked about this with several people, and actually using BuildBot was a suggestion of Kai. Thank you, Kai. And BuildBot has a lot of nice advantages as a platform. So we're able to automatically grab things from version control and have scheduling from version control, where we can listen for changes from a variety of sources. So right now we can grab things from CVS and CWSs. Subversion is something that there's a pre-built widget to do so, but we haven't implemented it yet because we have sort of a chicken and egg problem with Subversion. As far as I know, there's no CWSs in Subversion. Is that true? So
the test ones, but not public.
But real soon now, we will have, with community help, I hope we will have a unified interface where you'll be able to grab from either. And of course, BuildBot provides a platform where we can track regressions and query things and run tests and all sorts of things that we would like. And of course, it allows community people to volunteer their machine to be used as a BuildBot even part of the time, and then they can get some of the benefit of and participate. You know, if you're a proponent of a particularly fruity platform such as Debian or Gentoo, you can offer up a BuildBot and then let everyone know when something breaks, and everyone will know when something breaks automatically, as opposed to having you have to file a bug or notify someone. Well, you'll still have to file a bug, but.
Ooh.
Wow. So, obviously we want to make life easier for contributors, and we want to get the development cycle faster. We want we want to make it much easier for new developers to find their errors and correct them, hopefully with help from others. And we would like to enable, you know, distributed compile test cycles and have a continual test cycle that where we can have automatically running smoke test and some code quality tests that have yet to be developed, and maybe even the test tool, and have install sets, you know, hosted so that you can just click and say, here's my install set. And then, of course, we have to customize BillBot to work for the specifics of OpenOffice. So BillBot was developed for Python, and it's generally tailored towards projects that are fairly small, in that there are just a few branches, perhaps two or three. Their builds take, you know, approximately 30 minutes, and so there are some things that we need to modify for the situation in OpenOffice. And more or less, the architecture of BillBot is fairly nice, because there is the build master, and then there are these build slaves, and they connect to each other. They use the Python twisted spread object broker to make, so actually the slaves and the master are essentially symmetrical pieces of code, and that the slave connects to the master and says, what should I do? And then the master pushes a bunch of objects to it and says, this is what you should do. And the master has interfaces to web browser, email. It can email you and say your build has failed, or your build has passed. And it can talk on IRC, and then it can accept changes from CVS and RSS and a bunch of other things, and email. And I should have eliminated the transitions in these slides, I see. So there are these built-in templates for source changes, for build steps, for schedulers, and test steps. And this is what made BillBot so attractive, because you just leverage these class hierarchies, and you subclass, say, these CVS change listener, and you say, okay, well, we use CVS slightly differently. We need CWS change listener. And then all of these things for build steps. We have a OO build step, we have a OO smoke test step, and it's remarkably easy to, and at least, well, it's at least sane to hack these classes up and make them do what you want, and provide these customizations without making really hacky Perl scripts and stuff like that. And it is super easy to use. You can even use it on IRC, where you can just ask it to build something, and it will build it, and then it will tell you. Of course, this needs some work, because you can't ask it to build your CWS. You can only ask it to build head, and you can't ask it to build on everything. You can only ask it to build currently on one platform. But this is a project that needs some love from the community, but I think that hopefully the community will have a lot of love for it. And and by the way, so the BillBot, if you haven't noticed, the BillBot is present on the GoOO channel, as well as the OpenOffice.org channel, and you can ask it to do fun things like build something, get status, you can ask it to dance. And so it is demo time, I think. So here we have the BillBot status page, and you can see that maintaining all of these cross-platform hosts is difficult for someone who is not so smart as myself. And it seems like I'm playing whack-a-mole with the various hosts. Previously, I had problems with my Linux boxes not being able to compile. Now my Windows boxes, you know, because Windows is all the same, seem to work great. And now my Windows boxes are falling over in BIMFilter, and then my Linux boxes are working just fine, and then smoke test works sometimes and sometimes not, but it is an adventure, especially for someone such as myself who's been sheltered behind the OO build world of, you know, configure, make, and it just goes, to actually figuring out what the platform requirements are and the proper way to get the vanilla build to work. But here we go. We have we want to test out Kai's wonderful, wonderful jam work. So we say my name is Mike Lee, and to press people, and then I think it is Jam 01. Is that correct? And I think that I need to enable Jam. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I need to disable bin filter. I don't know why.
Oh, I forgot to. That's a huge. Yeah.
Yeah, that's also a very big speed up. And then I say, go for it. And then it says, OK. And it updates. And it's pulling from anonymous CVS. And pulling from anonymous CVS takes some time. But in about 10 or 15 minutes, it will bootstrap and then start compiling. And then you can. Or one of one that is in progress. A lot of red boxes here, but here we go. So it is nice because we can see for one that has failed, we can just get the tail of the log file and we can say, oh no, it failed in making IDL something. And for, we can get a summary log, which I stole from Tinderbox. And likewise, we can get the same sort of handy output where we say, ooh. Again, it failed in the same place. But more fun than that is I can say, oh, I want to get an install set. And then I can say, give me the install set. It says, you want the install set? I say, yes. And then, well, I don't know what happens now. I think it's downloading. Install sets are kind of large, so that probably won't finish by the time we're here. Also, you may have noticed that the URL here is localhost 8010. The network here, for some reason, blocks port 8010, and the billbot lives on 8010 for now, although I'll probably move it over to 80, so I have an SSH tunnel to my machine at home that is bringing it back out to the billbot. So. And also, as promised, I can say, and then it dances. It's not a very good dancer. I think I need to improve that.
Yeah, Erwin can do some stuff.
But then I can also say status, and then it will. There are many hosts, so it will. We're still updating on XP2 of IDL1. We have several slaves here. We have, these are almost all Intel machines, but we would very much like to have additional machines. I know Sun has talked about putting a Spark machine, and we have some machines that we would, that we have waiting for a the SUSE change root environment that Martin is going to provide. And everyone, I'm more than welcome you to contribute to Billbot Machine. I'll tell you how to do that soon. But we have one machine over here from Michael Meeks of x86. And unfortunately, I guess he turned it off while he went to the conference. and then we have one machine here to see if it was, in fact, easy to set up a Billbot. That we have one of our high school interns set up in the lab. And in fact, it was easy to set up a Billbot, but then it was hard to satisfy all the build requirements for OpenOffice and construct an appropriate configure line. So unfortunately, compiles for that one don't really pass. But we will spoon feed him a configure line real soon now. So, nope, row one. So. So how to help, and we want lots of help. There are lots of things that we would like to see done, and lots of things that I'm sure that you guys would like to see done. And so we have it in CVS. We have it in the GNOME OO build CVS because, well, it was very easy to just stuff it in there and didn't have to ask anyone or anything. And so far, no one has complained. Ultimately, we'd like to get this into the open office CVS and have a ability to file bugs and have them go to the right place and stuff like that. So if anyone would like to assist in that, let me know. But you can check it out from build source, and then you, as you say, set up, build, install, and then you're pretty much ready to go. You type the stuff in, and then, for example, we have the username and password. So there's sort of a shared secret between the buildmaster and the build slave of your username and password. And these are fairly arbitrary, so my slave and is Spiffy. And then we just make the appropriate directories, and then we and then you have to email me or whoever is the eventual maintainer, if anyone would like to volunteer, and then you say, you know, I have a new build slave, and it's actually more than this, because you need to say, you know, this is my configure line, and you know, if there's anything particularly interesting about your platform or steps that you need to do. So for example, for our SUSE platforms, we copy the Mozilla binaries and the UNO Win Registry DLL, we copy that in place first. And then in, I think, the Debian slave, I think I'm building Mozilla, and, you know, of course, with JDK home changes and et cetera. And then you start the slave, and then it goes and it shows up, and people can ask it to do builds. And then there's what it can do now and what we would like it to be able to do. So, of course, now we can do install, setup, load, smoke test. We can do the summary logs. This slide is slightly out of date. The per CWS view has just broken. So actually, I have these two links here ready for QA, and it should show you a list of all the CWSs that are ready for QA. And then I don't know if the output of ICE has changed recently. We were doing a somewhat inelegant screen scrape of the ICE output. It used to give the CWS names, and now it gives these descriptions, which don't correlate with the build description, so it shows no status. But like 2 days ago, this was very neat, because you could see all of the CWSs that are ready for QA, and then it would have boxes there with, you know, hopefully green boxes. We'd say, like, build successful, build successful, build successful. Of course, it needs still more love, because it just, you can see up at the top here where it says time, and really what I want to see, what I think I would want to see if I was in QA is I'd want to see actually platform. I want to see that that it in fact works on all platforms rather than that it built correctly 2 days ago and 1 day ago, because I think that's not as important. And then we have the same graph for CWS new, and of course it's also broken for the same reason, but there's far more CWSs in state new, some of them apparently with no description. And likewise, it's the same issue with the time, when actually, as a developer, I would like to see per platform breakage versus time, because the time isn't necessarily correlated with commits. Oh, and also I would like to so right here on the column over there that says changes. I don't know, can you guys read with the big okay. It says changes, and so we have a CVS listener that we've disabled that listen to all CVS, and this works for normal projects, but for OpenOffice, it turns out that this is a little tricky, because we see all the CWS resyncs as the individual, either individual files or individual modules being committed. So the display becomes, without filtering that and globbing it together in some way, which we did not have the time or necessarily know how to do, the time here explodes, as you see. Release engineering and people resyncing their CWSs, and that happens about once a second or once every 3 seconds, and you can see that the time display here is, you get a bar based on each event, so sometimes these spaces are very small, like this is, you know, 53 minutes past midnight to an hour and 12 minutes past midnight. But with all those changes in there, it would have a bar for every CVS commit. So that also needs some love. And then we have email notification. If you put in your email into that field where, you know, where I said Mike Lieb, it will actually email me and tell me the status. Of course, the IRC bot, if you ask on IRC, then later it will tell you, it will ping you and say your build succeeded. And of course, we can pass in custom configure script or custom configure options to particular CWSs because they need that. But we, of course, have many more things that we would like to see happen. So we want to see, of course, more platforms. We'd like to see integrated testing, particularly with the QA test tool. We'd like to have the smoke test work everywhere. Certain platforms, it seems to fail, and I am not an expert on smoke test or some platforms.
Do you build with disabled intervals here?
Not until today, but...
Okay. The smoke test, there's a fix for the smoke test that fixes it for... Usually it failed previously if you disabled the filter. They still tried to test the star of this 5.2 filters, which obviously weren't built and crashed. So,
my builds for on Windows and my builds for SUSE passed smoke test, but then my builds for Debian did not pass smoke test because it had some issue with the installation into /temp and let's see where it's one of these guys, and then look for smoke test failed. And the log looks just like this. And I'm not exactly, oh, that is completely illegible to you guys. How's that? And it looks like this, and then it says error connected to old installation, and so without the machine, I need to go poke the machine and see what's going on there. If there's a permissions problem, or if something is actually wrong. And we would like to see some code quality testing. Like one thing that I think it was Kendi has done it once or twice with the copy paste detector, and that's done from time to time, and we can see that there's a lot of copy pasted code. I think that we should try and do this all the time. We can track the regression, and then we can make a little red flag if your CWS increases the amount of copy-pasted code significantly over the base milestone. Of course, we can track it by milestone, and I want to see, you know, copy-pasted code start to go down. And then there's all sorts of other code quality tests, you know, that would be nice to see, like use of deprecated code, unreachable code, stuff like that. And of course, I'd like a better IRC bot where you can ask for my CWS, or you could ask it the history of the CWS and see how the CWS is if it's built recently. And then we would like it to, of course, be planetized, like all of the cool robots like Ishuzilla and ICE, where they have nifty blogs. We would like Billbot to blog as well. And